These guys know sports.
Most of the time.
Bob and Chris, the voices of Boise State Athletics. Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. This hour is brought to you by Pro-Am Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist with high-quality bowling balls, bags, shoes, and all accessories. Located right inside Westie's Garden Lanes in Garden City.
Bob and Chris show, it's a Tuesday. Chris will be checking in towards the end of the show today from Reno as he's getting set to broadcast tonight's game between Nevada and Boise State, next to the last women's basketball game, next to the last men's basketball game. Will be a home game tomorrow, 7 o'clock, senior night for the Bronco men. Anthony Dermott will be playing his final game, Taco Bell Arena. We will hear him at 2 o'clock, talk with him about what it's been like coming over from Australia to play for 5 years and what he's looking forward to most about his final game at Taco Bell Arena. Darren College in for Chris today. First hour, a lot of it's going to be spent on Idaho football. The Sun Belt will be having a press conference in a matter of minutes that we'll be taking you to in New Orleans, and most people seem to think that it's going to be to tell Idaho and New Mexico State, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want you as adjunct members in the league, and you're going to have a plan B.
Yeah, it's going to be a seriously interesting situation, and one that's not unprecedented, but one that's not happened very often. And there's part of me as a sports reporter now who's going to be interested and want to know which way this goes. And then there's the former Boise State guy in me that's going to be like, yeah, stick it to him. So it's definitely a different day.
You'll be hearing Carl Benson, the commissioner of the Sun Belt, also I believe one of the presidents in the conference. And let's go to New Orleans now.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the 12 presidents and chancellors of the Sun Belt Conference, thank you for taking the time today to participate in this call as the Sun Belt makes a very important announcement regarding its football membership structure for the future. At this time, I would like to introduce Denise Trouth, president of Texas State University and the president of the Sun Belt Board of Directors, to make an opening statement. President Trouth?
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Good afternoon. And on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Sun Belt Conference, its 12 presidents and chancellors, I am pleased to announce today that beginning with the 2018 season, the Sun Belt Conference will be a 10-team football league. With this decision, the current football-only memberships with the University of Idaho and New Mexico State University will expire following the 2017 season. This decision culminates nearly 4 years of strategic planning to bring the Sun Belt Conference to what we believe is one of the most geographically structured conferences in the FBS, 12 total teams in 7 states with 2 distinct divisions that will reduce the travel demands and miss class time of the nearly 4,000 student-athletes who participate in 18 sports sponsored by the Sun Belt Conference. This structure will also help build regional rivalries, especially between the universities within the 2 divisions, and allow fans to travel easily to the many great destinations that exist throughout the Sun Belt Conference. From a football standpoint, we believe a 10-team league will allow the SBC to maximize its on-field performance and rise to the top of our 4 peer FBS conferences in the very near future, and one day, very soon, have a team from the SBC play in one of the college football playoff New Year's Day bowl games. We will also now have a serious discussion about whether to conduct a football championship game, and those discussions will take place this spring with coaches and athletic directors, with the decision hopefully determined sometime next fall. I want to conclude by thanking President Carruthers of New Mexico State University and President Stablin of University of Idaho, who have been most cooperative throughout our whole relationship with them. And now I will give this back to Commissioner Carl Benson. Commissioner?
Thank you, President Trouth, and I'd like to introduce Sunbelt Senior Associate Commissioner John McElwain to provide some instructions to the media as we go into the question and answer portion of today's call. John?
All right. Thank you very much. It is star one
to ask a question today, star 1, and pound if you need to remove yourself from the queue. And our first question comes from the line of Dennis Dodd. Dennis?
Hey, hi. I guess this is for the board chairman and Carl. How much did conference championship game deregulation play into this, in that you can obviously go with a championship game with 10 schools?
Dennis, it certainly had a major factor. In the spring of 2013, when football-only memberships were extended to New Mexico State and Idaho, the intent then was to get to 12 teams so that we could conduct a football championship game. And as we have kind of concluded the membership structure with the addition of Coastal Carolina, that, you know, that got us to 12.
Mm-hmm.
But with the January decision that it no longer required 12, it did generate some additional conversation and dialogue and analysis. And at the end of the day, this is a Sun Belt decision that is in the Sun Belt's best interest, and the belief that at this time a 10-team league allows the Sun Belt to, as President Trout said, maximize our future performance.
And am I assuming too much that this game, if it's added, would be on campus?
Again, way too soon to speculate. We'll have those conversations. We've kind of toyed for 2 years now about who's in favor of a championship game, who isn't. But it was always, until we got to 12, it was really no real conversation. And again, the Coastal Carolina edition back in August allowed us to get to 12. And now that we know we're going to be a 10 team, we'll be able to drill down and really evaluate the advantages, disadvantages, of a football championship game. But on the other hand, with the two provisions, and I think it's something that we really need to clarify, because I think that there is some general misinformation or just lack of understanding. This NCAA new policy allows for two different options for a conference to conduct a championship game with less than 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
One is to play a full round-robin schedule, and in the case of the Sun Belt with 10 teams, that would mean that we would play a 9-game conference schedule with a champion being established with the two top teams from the division, from that one divisional ranking, or to split the conference into two 5-team divisions and either play 8 conference games or 9 conference games. There's no requirement as to how many conference games you'd play if you divided it into the two divisions. And we've had other conversation in the past about whether an 8-game conference schedule is better than a 9-game conference schedule or vice versa. And I think as we are able to take that question and couple it with how that might work within a football championship game structure, that we would come to some conclusion. I think it's safe to say that if we were to have a championship game, the earliest would be 2017, but the most likely would be 2018.
Okay.
More than likely, it would be on campus at one of the either one of the divisional champions or the number one champion of the league if we went the round robin route.
And I just make sure real quick, I thought I heard you say in the beginning you are dividing into divisions, or is that yet to be determined?
No, we have, and again, I think that the structure that we have 12 teams, 10 football playing schools, along with University of Texas Arlington, University of Arkansas Little
yeah.
Rock, that don't play football. And that's our 12-team model. That is what President Trout indicated. That's our strength, is that those 12 universities are divided geographically. And whether we play divisionally in any sport right now, you know, is still somewhat unknown.
Okay.
But the fact that, we have two schools in Texas, two in Arkansas, two in Louisiana that are distinct, quote, west. And in the east, the two Alabamas, Troy and South Alabama, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Appalachian State in North Carolina, and now Coastal Carolina and South Carolina. That's the model, and that's the footprint. That's the geographic footprint that will allow us to manage all of our sports. And another real key ingredient to that, this would be a non-football because there's not travel partners, but the travel partner concept, the travel partner scheduling concept, when you look at the 12 basketball-playing schools that we have, they are all perfectly fitted for traveling kind of in the same location and in the same direction. And that's where the efficiency of travel, that's where the missed class time comes in, that's where the overall wear and tear on student-athletes will be reduced by the travel partner scheduling model, regardless of whether we play 12 teams, 1 through 12, or split into divisions, depending on the sport.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. And as a reminder, it is star 1 to ask questions today. Our next questions come from the line of Dave Southorn from the Idaho Statesman. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Carl. I know, obviously, it seems like the geographic footprint and, going to 10 teams were, primary decisions to not extend Idaho. Were there any other factors that you can talk about, maybe why Idaho kind of wasn't extended more?
Again, we focused on what was in the best interest of the Sun Belt rather than focusing on the the characteristics or the benefits. And we have great respect for the University of Idaho and New Mexico State, and that the geographic footprint played a huge part in the decision, and in consolidating and getting to a structure that again minimizes just the overall footprint and at the same time maximizing the performance piece. Did we look at past performance? Absolutely. Did we look at the financial parameters and the financial impact of being a 12-team league or a 10-team league in football? And the one thing that we do have to remember is that football revenues that are generated by the Sun Belt are primarily divided within the football membership. So this was an economic evaluation that 10 teams versus 12 teams from an economic standpoint would be a better financial model as well.
And also, I know initially it was going to be March 10th when this vote was going to take place. What kind of prompted to be moved up a bit and have this decision be today?
President Trauf, would you like to address that?
Yes, it became very apparent that the presidents and chancellors in the conference were unified on the subject of moving forward as a 10-team football league. That sentiment has been evident for some time, and as we came into the new year, our leadership felt that we had amply evaluated this membership structure, and that it was only fair to make this announcement sooner rather than later. I mean, we recognize that New Mexico State University and University of Idaho need to move down the road, and so we decided that now was the time to make this announcement.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Dave. And
you're listening to the Bob and Chris Show. This is the press conference of the Sun Belt announcing that they will not renew the memberships of New Mexico State and Idaho beginning in 2018.
Good afternoon, Troy.
Good. Hey, you know, with the football championship game, you know, that seems like that's been a topic every spring and every July, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years or so. I mean, do you feel like you guys have a pretty good idea of the opinion of each school, you know, in terms of if you guys want to have it or not? Or do you still feel like there's still kind of conversations that need to be done, or are you guys still in the dark on who wants one and who doesn't want one?
Well, we've never taken an actual vote. We've tried to gauge those that, you know, that are maybe strong on one side versus the other. The one thing too that I think is important is that, you know, there will be three new football coaches around the table for the first time, you know, this spring. Actually, four when you count Coastal Carolina. So we really want to start from scratch. There's always a list of the advantages, disadvantages of whether to conduct a football championship game. And you know, right now, of the 10 FBS conferences, 8 of those conferences, you know, somewhere down the path have elected to conduct a football championship game. And you know, the Sun Belt and the Big 12 are the only two of the 10 that are not conducting a championship game. And prior to this new legislation regarding the, you know, 12 teams, neither of us were in a position to actually conduct a championship game. So I think this will bring it to a head and allow us, rather than to talk and speculate about, you know, if we do have a championship game, now I think we can really hone in on, you know, is this in the best interest of the Sun Belt? And I think that when you look at our peer conferences, and again, you know, of the 10 FBS conferences, they're obviously divided into the Autonomy 5 and the 5 others, with the Sun Belt and Conference USA and the American and the Mountain West and the Mid-American. And you know, right now the Sun Belt is the one in our peers that do not have a championship game. And some of the same arguments that have been had over the course of the first 2 years of the CFP, in regards to whether the Big 12 was advantaged or disadvantaged by not having a championship game, those same arguments and that same debate will occur in terms of, you know, the quote group of five. You know, the highest ranked champion gets that great spot, you know, in one of the New Year's Day games, and that's what we'll be playing for. And right now, with our four peer conferences playing games, is the Sun Belt disadvantaged when it comes to maximizing our champion in an evaluation assessment by that same football committee that selects the four teams to play in the semifinals? You know, that group will be evaluating the champions of the five conferences.
Troy, and as a reminder, it is *1 to ask a question to get in the queue. We're going to go to the line of Jason Groves from the Las Cruces Sun News up next. Jason, if you are ready, please go ahead.
Yeah, Carl, can you talk about, since New Mexico State and Idaho made their presentation a couple weeks ago, like what happened since then to move this forward, you know, without going to a vote in a couple of weeks here?
I think President Trout explained it well, that as we went into those presentations 2+ weeks ago, we wanted to give both University of Idaho and New Mexico State an opportunity to, you know, to make their case. It's not as if we aren't aware of what they, you know, what they have in terms of their characteristics, both from an athletic standpoint and from a university standpoint, and again, they are both highly regarded by the rest of the Sun Belt membership. But I think that once those presentations were conducted and completed, the executive committee of the Sun Belt Conference, which is led by President Trout, along with Tim Hudson, the chancellor at Arkansas State, Nick Bruno, president at the University of Louisiana Monroe, and Joel Anderson, the chancellor at the University of Arkansas Little Rock, you know, conducted a call after the presentations, and you know, exchanged information, shared notes. The four of them had conversation with some of their peers around the league to get kind of what the temperature was. And as President Trout indicated, at that time it did not appear that the votes were there, so to speak, to extend. And then a plan was developed last week to go forward in this manner and to be able to, you know, to make this decision and this announcement and again to really focus on going forward as the Sun Belt. I think today is a big day for the Sun Belt. When you look at what we have gone through, you know, since the spring of 2012. The departures of five universities. We've added six to get us to that 12 number. And when you look at the universities that we've added to complement the ones that were here in 2012, we think we've developed and established a core of universities, you know, both from an academic standpoint and, you know, and an athletic that really now defines, you know, the Sun Belt. I applaud the presidents and chancellors for their being willing to, you know, to move forward and make these decisions. I appreciate the confidence that they had in me to lead them to this, you know, to this point. And I really believe that when you look at what we've accomplished in the last 4 years, to be here now today making this announcement is a real testament to, I think, the leadership of the Sun Belt in terms of our presidents and chancellors, you know, and our athletic directors.
But there was no actual vote. They didn't vote. They just kind of discussed it and came to this determination to move forward like this.
That is correct. There were no votes taken, and it was a matter of, you know, being able to, you know, to share information and to compare notes. And that's not uncommon, you know, with boards, and we operate as a, you know, as a board of directors. And that is not an uncommon way to, you know, to kind of reach consensus, so to speak.
Thanks, Carl.
You bet, Jay. You're listening to the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket. It is the press conference from the Sun Belt in New Orleans announcing that New Mexico State and Idaho not being renewed for membership beginning in 2018.
Carl, how much did performance play a role in the decisions of the presidents on whether to extend the contracts, specifically speaking on Idaho?
Well, again, it was all, you know, we created a list of factors that would be used to conduct the evaluation. We presented those to both the University of Idaho and New Mexico State back before Christmas. List of I think it was eight items that would be used to kind of as a guide to guide us through the evaluation. And I think the one thing that also is important to note and just to remind people is that in the spring of 2013, when we entered into this agreement with New Mexico State and Idaho, you know, it was a four-year agreement with a two-year look-in. And it was intended to, you know, to provide all parties, both universities along with the Sun Belt, to, you know, to assess where we were after 2 years, and to make the determination then whether it was something that would continue. And, you know, we've stated this before, and yet again, I think it's also important to note is that the environment that existed in the spring of 2013, one being the requirement that you needed to get to 12 teams, that drove the initial decision to add New Mexico State and Idaho. And those of you that were covering the Sun Belt at that time, on that day in April of 2013, it was a big day on that day for the Sun Belt. Earlier in the morning, we announced that Georgia Southern would be joining the Sun Belt.
Later that afternoon, I was in Boone, North Carolina, and made the announcement with Appalachian State that they would join the Sun Belt. And later on in the afternoon, via conference call, we made the announcement that Idaho and New Mexico State would join the Sun Belt. And that got us to this 12 teams. The geographic considerations that have always been important to the Sun Belt and this geographic footprint were in place on that afternoon in April of 2013. Unfortunately, 30 days later, Western Kentucky elected to depart the Sun Belt, the last of the five to depart the Sun Belt, and that put us back in a structure that required and needed another member, and we were very deliberate from that point on to see who that replacement team was going to be, and that there were several institutions under consideration, and in late August, the decision to add Coastal Carolina to really be kind of 2 years post the departure of Western Kentucky, the actual replacement team for Western Kentucky that got us back to that 12. The other piece that needs to be, we were talking earlier about the economics and the importance of economics and how important that is in today's intercollegiate athletic world, that on that day in April 2013, the group of five conferences had devised a revenue distribution plan shortly after the CFP had created the revenue split that would come to the group of five under the new CFP revenue plan. And at that time, the five commissioners elected to establish a plan that called for each conference would receive up to $12 million based on $1 million per university. So a 12-team league would get $12 million. A 10-team league would get $10 million. And that drove the decision. When I recommended in April New Mexico State and Idaho to be football-only members, that was the information that I took to our presidents and chancellors, that Idaho and New Mexico State would contribute $1 million because they were already FBS and they would come in as 12, and that would get us to the kind of the maximum base number on the 12th, on the $12 million per school. Within a few months after that, some of my commissioner colleagues decided that they wanted to change that formula, and it went from $12 million to $10 million. So within 3 or 4 months, the base became 10 million rather than 12. Shifted money into the performance pool of monies, and so really, when you look at the two of the main reasons in April of 2013 that we focused on Idaho and New Mexico State, neither of those are in place today. So I think that we have to be candid with that. That logic and that that determination.
So would something like performance, maybe like if Idaho went to back-to-back bowl games, would that have been enough, you think, to outweigh some of those other factors?
I think it absolutely would have been a factor had there been greater on-field success by either either university, but it didn't happen. And what we had the decision we had to make was not based on what might happen in the future. It's what the current structure is and how best to position the Sun Belt in this quest to have the highest ranked champion. And I think that those of you that follow the formula that is used to rank the conferences, it's based on six computers. They're the 6 computers that were used during the BCS days, and we still use those 6 computer averages to compile the conference rankings, and that each, you know, each university is assessed a computer ranking that is a, you know, average of those 6. And just like the basketball RPI, the teams at the top, their computer averages are impacted by, you know, by the computer averages of those teams, you know, in the bottom half of the league. So the more teams that you have with higher computer rankings, the better average you have, and the better you know, the teams are within the group of the within the conference. So, I mean, it is a financial game, and we are ranked by conference. In the last 2 years, the Sun Belt has been, you know, the number 5 ranked conference. And our goal is certainly not to remain in the number 5 spot. There's great financial incentive to move up the computer ranking, and we believe that a 10-team league will give us a much better chance to move up the rankings and to, you know, our aspiration is to be the top ranked conference and to have the highest ranked champion, like the American did this past year, like the Mountain West did, you know, in year 1 of the CFP. That's our goal, and this is what drove this decision today.
Thanks, Carl.
You're listening to the Sun Belt press conference announcing that New Mexico State and Idaho will not be renewed for their membership beginning in 2018 as football-only members. Carl Benson, commissioner of the Sun Belt. We're also hearing Denise Trouth, who is the president of Texas State University.
For you, number 1, when will the conference football schedule be released now? And number 2, do you have any concerns now that you will be a 10-team league in 2018 of losing any members and going down to 9 and having everything kind of all messed up again in terms of either divisions or a schedule format?
Well, as far as the 2016, you know, schedule, we expect to release that within the next 48 hours. We've been working, you know, in close concert with ESPN to finalize the ESPN schedule of games, and we're closing in on that. And we do expect an announcement on Thursday. As for your second question, we believe that the conference, that the Sun Belt, is at a stable level, and that one of great stability right now, and solidarity. We believe that our membership is recognizing the value of the Sun Belt, that our bowl opportunities are to the point where we're satisfying our membership there. The financial piece with the CFP, the increase in the CFP, and hopefully as we move up the CFP rankings, will allow us to maximize revenues along that line.
You've been listening to the Sun Belt's press conference featuring Commissioner Carl Benson announcing today that the Sun Belt will not renew the memberships of Idaho and New Mexico State. They were football-only playing members. They will go with 10 football teams plus 2 others that play in all other sports. No football for Idaho and New Mexico State in the Sun Belt starting in 2018. Carl Benson will be on today at 3 with Caves and Prater on Idaho Sports Talk. We'll also hear the Idaho press conference coming up at 2:15. Stay tuned for more. We'll give you our reaction to the Sun Belt's decision next on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Got something you need to get off your chest? Hit the Ticket text line. Powered by Commercial Tire. Text us anytime at 208-424-9300.
Bob and Chris Show, Sports Radio The Ticket. Carl Benson coming up at 3 on Idaho Sports Talk, 2:15. Idaho Vandals having their own press conference. We'll carry it live here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Chris Lewis is in Reno today. Darren College is sitting in. And Darren, I can't believe that the announcement out of the Sun Belt today was surprising. I mean, the first thing Carl Benson did when he came on was talking about geography, travel, proximity to schools, travel time. Idaho and New Mexico State were in for football only. It didn't seem to me that anybody that was looking at this thing from afar would have expected that this conference would continue the memberships of Idaho and New Mexico State.
No, I don't think anybody went into it really expecting. I mean, for me, this is was an obvious decision for the Sun Belt. You look at the way this conference is broken up geography-wise and the travel-wise. Really, Texas State's the farthest west team that's going to remain. And the only reason these two teams were even brought into the conference was because of the 12-team rule. I mean, this conference wants to have a championship game, and now that the rule's been changed to make it 10, economically, it makes no sense. The only way, and you and I talked about this, to have these two teams even remain in this conference was if one of them was to be a leader in this conference, and you say, all right, they're one of our marquee matchups, they're going to big-time bowl games, they're bringing in a bunch of revenue, but they're not justifying their inclusion in this conference by the games they're playing and the wins they're getting and their geographical location.
They also talked how no real vote was taken, but that they had a consensus. To me, that says it would have been 12-0. If you had enough people on one side of the argument saying, hey, these guys should stay, you'd had some people squawking and saying, let's revisit this. There had to be, this is my take, just reading between the lines, there had to be no sentiment in the room to continue the relationship with two adjunct members.
Yeah, I see no team making any kind of viable argument to keep these guys in. And when 10 other people can sit in the room and say, hey, nobody here thinks this is a good idea, then nobody's going to make that vote. It makes it even more interesting to me about what New Mexico State and Idaho's presentations look like, because they made financial presentation, these guys, reasons that they should remain. I would love to see what those are, because from my spot in this studio, I can't see a single thing that they could have sold except for, hey, we plan on playing, you know, I mean, these guys were playing some big-time teams for some money games in like Nebraska's and USC's, but you have to be doing pretty terrible for even that to not compensate people wanting to travel to you.
When you look at the decisions coming up to the Sun Belt, they said for them, whether they want to have a conference championship or not, we think they probably will.
Absolutely.
Whether you want to play 8 or 9 conference games would dictate, if you don't want to have divisions, you have to play a complete round robin. Thus, you would have to play 9. If you split into divisions and you have the 2 division winners play, you can get away with 8. Difference there being, do you want to play 4 games out of the conference or do you want to play 3? If you play 8 conference games, you might have a chance for a little bit more wiggle room to get more games for money on your schedule. So those are the decisions that the conference has to decide. The way I look at it for Idaho and for New Mexico State, both schools have 4 different options to choose from. 1, you can go independent and play an independent schedule. Notre Dame, BYU, UMass, and Army right now are the only independents out there in college football. You could decide that you want to try to get into another conference, but good luck. I don't know that anybody else is out there prospecting for new members. It is a possibility, but I don't see anybody out there trying to get new members. You could also decide you want to go back to FCS. No one has ever done that. And the 4th option, which is one I don't think they would choose, but you could drop football.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what the Vandal fans are really thinking about what their team should do. Because this, I mean, really, we looked it up. The precedent is set by Temple. Temple's the last team in 2004 to be removed from a conference. They were moved from the Big East, and they went independent for 2 years. And if Idaho has the chance to go independent, has the chance to go out there and collect some games, because I don't look at any team on this conference in the Sun Belt itself, including the teams that were just ousted, and go, these guys can get pay games. These are season patterns for a lot of teams. You bring them in, you pay them a couple bucks, you play home games. Idaho could spend a year or two really, really just getting punch drunk around the NCAA.
But the problem is, where do you get home games? You're an independent. You're out of the way in Las Cruces or Moscow. Yeah. I understand you can find a lot of paydays where people would be willing to pay you to come to their place. Where do you get 5 home games?
Yeah, you're not. You just shut the Kibbe Dome down and you just travel. You spend 9 weeks of the season just traveling all year, collect as much money as you can until you shut the doors on the program. I don't see any really good options right now for Idaho. I don't think the independent one's going to work for the reasons you've just mentioned. FCS seems like the only best option, but what does that do to your program?
So what would you like to see them do? 424-9300, that's the Fresh Never Frozen hotline. You can also text us on the Commercial Tire text line or tweet us at Bob and Chris Show. UMass, my former employers, ran into a kind of a similar situation last season. While I was there, they went up they were an FCS team at the time. A few years after I left as their announcer and came here, they moved up to FBS, going into the Mid-American Conference, which is with Toledo, Northern Illinois, etc. There was a clause in the contract when they came in as members of the conference, different than Idaho's contract, that stated that the conference at any time could basically make them decide if they wanted to be a full member of the MAC or whether they would be leaving. In other words, you had to be all in or you had to be out. And UMass decided for their other sports, basically basketball and hockey, that they did not want to participate in the Mid-American. They decided not to take the full membership, and they've gone independent in football, which is going to be a very tough road to hoe for them, and they're going to stay where they are in the Eastern League, the Atlantic 10, and Hockey East for the rest of their sports.
Yeah, I think it's always a tough decision. I mean, especially for these two teams are, they're only football members. I mean, all of Idaho's other sports are FCS. So,
well, there is no FCS. Every other conference, you're either Division One or you're Division Two.
Yeah, you're Division Two.
You may be a smaller Division One conference, but they all are Division One.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I really see this is a step back for Idaho and something that's, I don't know, it's going to be long rippling. My question is going to start being for the players that are involved in these, because the NCAA rules state that four-year college transfer, none of these guys can really do it without stepping out for a year. I don't know if there's some precedent or clause that's going to allow a couple of guys to go. You're going to start hurting your recruiting class. Guys are going to, you're going to start pulling in lower tier guys. For me, this seems a bit of a downward spiral, and I really don't see where the bottom is for Idaho.
Well, you're going to be in the Sun Belt for the next two seasons. You're going to be in for 16 and 17. It starts with 18. So I think you're more concerned with people that you're recruiting in the future, not the people that you've already got recruiting and that are on the team now. Teams change conferences all the time.
Yeah.
You don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card to be able to go transfer and not have to sit out. Now, the precedent might be different if they decide to go to FCS. I don't know what the rule would be there now, but as far as if they stay FBS and go as an independent, the players, if you wanted to transfer, you'd be transferring like you'd be transferring regularly. You'd have to sit out unless, of course, you graduated and could take the graduate transfer rule.
Yeah, if I just committed to Idaho and I'm seeing this happen right now as a freshman, I'm worried about where we're at in 2 years. If I know that we have a chance to go independent, if I stay over 2 years, we're going to have the chance to stay independent, I would probably stick around because I'm saying, well, chances are I'm actually going to play some better competition even outside of the Sun Belt. But if they're saying that they're going to take a step back to the FCS, I become extremely concerned because I know the rules for NCAA are FCS to FCS transfers are different, but once you're FBS, once you're Division I team participating in football in particular, they get a little more stringent about those rules and they can be extremely difficult.
So you think that from your standpoint, if they were to go down, you would want out. You would want out. You would not, as a player, you would not want to go and play in the Big Sky. What you're saying?
I wouldn't want to play in the Big Sky. It depends on what kind of player you are. So if I'm a guy who thinks that I'm going to make it to the next level, if I'm, the last great player to come out of Idaho for me would be Mike Iapati. If I'm a player like that and I expect to play at the next level and I want to be against the best competition the country has to offer, it's sure as heck not going to be an FCS team. The amount of players drafted out of the FCS compared to the FBS schools is marginal at best. So there's very few. There's a couple guys that make that jump, but it's not one where the odds are going to be stacked in my favor.
I would suspect that Idaho will probably try to go as an independent for a few years. That's what most will do. Hope maybe there's another movement of conferences where maybe some other openings might occur that might be more favorable geographically. But I'm going to be fascinated to listen to what they would say at 2:15 as they look forward to what they're planning to do in the future. Again, it's not for next season. It's not even for the following season. It starts in the fall of 2018. They will be looking for a conference or deciding to go independent or deciding to go to FCS if they want to go back. But my guess would be that they're going to say they're going to try to go independent for a while.
Yeah, we talk a lot about coach speak on these shows, and this is going to be one of those ones where it's going to be Idaho University president speak. They're going to say, hey, obviously we're disappointed in the situation. We believe that we brought something to this program financially, geographically, but they're going to say that we're excited about the opportunities. We think we have multiple opportunities out there. We're going to let the next 2 years pan out and see which one is best for the University of Idaho moving forward. But I expect nothing but positive after the first 5 minutes of we're sad to be out of the vision. And then when they have to start you know, get asked the real questions. But it'll be interesting to see. They had to have had a plan in place. They've had to know that this was coming. I mean, this isn't – as soon as the as soon as the vote was from 12 teams down to 10, Idaho and New Mexico State had to be looking at each other going, we're at the outside looking in on this one.
And what Darren is saying, they took a vote in January. They dropped the number of teams you needed to have in your conference to have a championship game. Like the Mountain West has their championship game. You had to have 12 in the past. They dropped the number to 10. There were 10 football full-time members in the Sun Belt. Idaho and New Mexico State made 11 and 12 when the Sun Belt added Coastal Carolina in the last round of expansion. When we come back, we'll have a round of quick hits. We'll talk about cars in NFL or Major League parking lots. And we'll also talk about, do you want Hall of Famers disparaging the guys that are playing now? That's Quick Hits when we come back on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket.
93.1 The Ticket presents Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. The topics other shows with Bob and Chris don't miss. Topic number one.
The Mets' Yoannis Cespedes got a big contract in the offseason. He's been showing up to spring training with a number of fancy cars. Today, he shows up riding a horse. Darren, are there some guys you've played for that have some great rides?
I love it. There's some great rides out there. Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Bentleys. My favorite set ever was I saw James Harrison show up in a smart car for camp. I love that. And then somebody showed up in a dump truck once. It's the best ever.
So, again, it shows you all kinds in the players' parking lots.
Topic number two.
Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson was disparaging the performance of Steph Curry. As a player, what do you think about it when somebody from an old-time team complains about what you guys are doing?
Oh, man. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, you guys used to do it this way. We do it this way now. You guys can never compete our level. And now that I'm a retired guy, I look back and say, those guys are nothing like we are. It's almost like fishing stories. It was always better. It was always bigger, you know, back when I did it than when you did it. So it's hard. You take it with a grain of salt. Steph Curry's one of the greatest basketball players ever, and I'm excited to watch him.
And I think when you look at it, the people who are really good, and I'm going to put Oscar Robertson, who was complaining, and Steph Curry, who he was talking about,
yeah.
I think both guys would be good in either era if you gave them either everything that they have to work with now or if you took it away. I think Steph Curry would still find a way to be good in the old era.
Yeah, he's extremely talented. I think that the argument's making, and it's an argument that we make in the NFL a lot about how the game's evolved, the game's changing. It's a less aggressive game. Defense is played in a different way, and people are saying that, you know, nobody's playing full court anymore on a guy like that, and these old guys could. And I got a feeling a lot of these old guys wouldn't want to cover a guy like Steph Curry full court.
And I'm sure you've heard some great stories about old Packer teams when you played in Green Bay.
Well, I did, but I was the best player to ever play there and will forever be the best player to ever play there.
Darren Collins with me on hour number two, Bob and Chris Show. Chris out in Reno today. We'll be back. More on Idaho, no in the Sun Belt, next on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
These guys know sports.
Most of the time.
Bob and Chris, the voices of Boise State Athletics. Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
News of the day. Sun Belt had a press conference about an hour ago. Carl Benson, the commissioner. Denise Trouth, one of the presidents in the conference from Texas State, announced that the Sun Belt was not going to renew the membership for Idaho and New Mexico State. That's beginning with the 2018 season. So Idaho has a home in the Sun Belt for two more seasons. It's sort of like they're, I guess, giving you notice that your apartment will be, I guess, not rented or rented to somebody else. And you have 2 years to find another place to play.
Yeah, it's the longest 2 weeks notice of all time. I mean, and it's funny that they have to announce it 2 years before, but I guess at least it gives Idaho and New Mexico State a heads up that, you know, you can start your hunt, you can start your search, but you and I have said the options are looking pretty grim. There's four options here. They're going to go independent, they're going to go FCS, they're going to wrap up football. I mean, this, what was the other option?
Or find another conference.
Or find another conference. Yeah. And I think that's an option we probably take right off the table.
I think you could take off the drop football. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. It's an option, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's down to, are you going to play independent, or are you going to go back to FCS?
I think you go independent as long as you can, and then you accept that you're probably going to be an FCS team when all's said and done. They don't bring anything to this table, and they don't bring anything to any conferences around. I look at the conferences, they're even geographically close. to Idaho or New Mexico State, and none of those conferences need them. And if anything, some of those conferences are probably a little fat themselves and are starting to look at this 10-team system and say, maybe this is an option we want to get into.
There is usually in conferences some sort of a vote if you want to start voting people out of the league. Yep. It's one of the times we had it in the Atlantic 10, there was some discussion whether they were going to vote St. Bonaventure out of the league, and it was determined that you had to get 3/4 of the schools, and they could be a no vote, to vote somebody out of the conference. So I think that for a league to go down that road, I'm sure everybody's bylaws have what it would take. Maybe some of them you can't remove somebody from a conference, but I think it would be very hard to push somebody out that is a full member. It's associate members that, you know, are sort of in there as a, well, you're sort of a member of our group, but not really. Those are the ones that I think are very easy to drop if you want to drop them.
Yeah, it's like kind of being part of some of those golf clubs out there, private golf courses. You know, some guys get to come through the front door, and some have to use the side entrance. And New Mexico State have been using that side entrance for a little while, and it sounds like these guys are going to lock them out, which is, I mean, I don't know what it says about your program. I look at a Coastal Carolina team that's just come from the FCS and has joined the FBS, and they're willing to say, oh, yeah, we like you. But for me, that's a purely geographic situation. People are just tired. Nobody wants to fly to Moscow. Nobody from the southeast wants to travel all the way to Moscow to play a game. And it's just, it's going to continue to be that way for a long time. Again, I make the argument that if Idaho was competitive on any level, I mean, we're talking 15 out of the last 16 seasons, they've ended with a losing record. 15 out of the last 16 seasons are a losing record. If they were competitive in this division at the top and they could find a way to bring more attention to the Sun Belt and they could bring in more revenue to the Sun Belt, this is a team that could probably have remained on the docket and something else would have happened. But they're just not, and they bring nothing to the table except an anchor. And these teams now have to play less games, can play a championship game, which brings in more revenue, have the opportunity to open up another non-conference game for them, which also brings in revenue. What are the reasons to keep Idaho?
And then they talked about in other sports having perfect travel partners. Of course, Idaho and New Mexico State were not going to play in the other sports. There was never, at least to my knowledge, a discussion of them being in the Sun Belt as full membership. But you had the two teams in Texas they mentioned. One of them didn't play football. Two in Arkansas, one of them didn't play football. And two in Louisiana that would form a six-team Western division if you wanted to do that for the other sports. And then you had two teams in the Carolinas, two in Georgia, and two in Alabama that you could put in an East division. There were just too many reasons. And to keep New Mexico State in Idaho, even if they had winning records every year, would be a tough sell, in my opinion. I think this thing is bigger to geography and travel than it is to what somebody else is bringing to the table, because it's very expensive to go play at both of those places. Nobody wants to go that far for a conference game, and you're not going to draw very well when they come to you.
Yeah, nobody's super excited to go to the Idaho Coastal Carolina game. I got a feeling that won't be a sellout. And yeah, guys don't want to travel. As players, I didn't want to travel. You know, what I loved most about playing in the NFC North was the fact that most of my games were Chicago, Minneapolis, and then I was going to go over to Detroit. I was going to be there and back in an hour and a half every single time I played, and that made it easier on me when I was playing games. It made it easier on the team because the travel was much shorter. The travel was much easier. If something happened to the plane, we could actually bus home. It's one of those things where you start to add up the numbers, and this snowball has built up against Idaho and New Mexico State, and the only thing that was keeping them in this division was the fact that they needed 12 teams to have a conference championship game. And now that the vote in January said that we need 10, these guys are outside looking in, and nobody can be surprised.
You're listening to the Bob and Chris Show. Darren College is sitting in for Chris. We're coming to you from the Data Tell Studios. Again, you can join us if you want to put your two cents in on what Idaho should do moving forward. Again, they're having a press conference at 12:15 that we will cover. Our phone number on the Fresh Never Frozen Domino's hotline, 424-9300. Same number on the commercial tire text line if you want to text us, or, of course, you can tweet us at Bob and Chris Show. The WAC when you were in it. You played in the WAC. Your first year here was the first year the team was in the WAC, you were telling me.
Yep.
A lot of travel in that league. You had a long distance between Honolulu, Hawaii, and I believe, Ruston was the farthest in the time? Ruston, Louisiana.
Yeah,
farthest. You spent a lot of time traveling.
Yeah, and it was tough. I mean, those games were always extremely tough. We talked about the home records of teams like Hawaii and Louisiana Tech, and especially when those two had to play each other, how far you had to travel, and then to deal with those things is extremely difficult as a player, and extremely difficult for a coaching staff. And in the professional league, when you play in the NFL, games that travel over 3 hours, most teams travel a day sooner. Mm-hmm. In the NCAA, you usually don't have that option. Guys aren't going to get out of school to get the extra day sooner unless it's bowl game or championship time. So it's one of those things where you've got to stick these guys in an airplane and say, hey, they're gonna fly 4 or 5 hours. That's an extremely tough thing for the team and extremely tough for a team to spend the money. It's NCAA teams are making more money than they probably ever have before, but it's also getting more and more expensive to run these teams. So guys are trying to find a way to save money in any way they can. And if that's cutting Moscow or New Mexico off your travel schedule, you're going to do it. If you can do all these trips inside your own state or within some connecting states, why wouldn't you do that?
And New Mexico State and Idaho have been in the same conference for a while. They were in the WAC together. You wonder if they've collaborated on what maybe they're going to do going further or not. I mean, I don't know if New Mexico State, if they decided they wanted to go FCS, I don't know where they're located down at the very bottom of New Mexico. Would the Big Sky want to travel there? Would they be in the same boat trying to sell the Big Sky, even though it's FCS and they'd be coming down from FBS, to would they take them? I mean, they may not. They may not want to extend their borders. I mean, I think New Mexico State may actually be in a worse position than Idaho at this stage.
Yeah, they might actually be in the worst position out of all of them, because I look at the teams that, you know, that Idaho can start being connected to and start building up some of those regional rivalries again. Stuff that would actually be exciting. Stuff that when I came here, we were actually part of the Big West when I first came here as a freshman, and then we made the switch when I became a starter. We switched over to the WAC. But I remember coming and watching basketball games here where the Big West, where we had rivalries, and it was super exciting. I mean, the pavilion used to be packed, and then when we went to WAC and the competition became extremely difficult and we had to make those changes, along with that went the fan base. You know, nobody wants to watch those blowouts. We've made the argument here that New Mexico and Idaho might be better off being FCS teams just because the competition could become competitive again and they can start winning some games, and maybe their fans and their students would want to start supporting them, and then maybe then you have a chance after a while.
Coming up next, we'll get Idaho's press conference. We'll see what they say on the heels of the Sun Belt's press conference, announcing that they and New Mexico State will not be members in 2018 for football. Back with more of the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket.
From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM The Ticket. Download our app to listen on your mobile device at ktik.com.
Bob and Chris Show, Sports Radio The Ticket. Moments away from Idaho's press conference, discussing what the Sun Belt just announced a little over an hour ago, that being that they will not renew the memberships of Idaho and New Mexico State for the 2018 season. Vandals and Aggies will play in 2016 and 2017, but they'll need to have another option for football come 2018.
Yeah, they're going to have a new option. I'm hoping both of them finish up 1-2 over the next 2 years, just to stick it to the conference. And then we talked about, you know, possible Big Sky landing. The Big Sky already has 13 teams in their division, and Idaho maybe is in, but we'll see what happens.
Let's go up to Moscow now for the press conference at the University of Idaho.
Participating in this conference, I'm sure you've received our release earlier. As you know, the Sun Belt was decided not to vote on renewal of our membership, but simply to move forward as a 10-team league in their fall 2018 season. We will evaluate our options, and as always, athletics remains very important, or is very important to us, and we want to assure that our student-athletes have a great experience, their fans have a great experience, and that we have stability for our programs so we can move them forward. We're happy to take questions. And since I'm in Boise and Rob is in Moscow, we'll sort of take questions, either Rob or I, directed to one or the other of us.
Okay. Again, please identify yourself and your affiliation. Questions, we'll take them now.
All right. Dave from the Idaho Statesman here. This is for Rob. Rob, as far as you know, should there be a move, to the FCS, Have you had any sort of discussions on how you would handle that, especially scholarship-wise, considering it would have to be a reduction?
Dave, I think it's important as we move forward. The president mentioned that we're going to explore all options. That will certainly be some of the detailed work that we'll put in to make sure that we know the exact requirements, and we'll prepare ourselves either way. But, again, it's very important to know that we're going to evaluate the best options out there and select the best things for our student-athletes.
And President Staben, I know it sounded like today the Sun